Luke chapter 14. We're going to take a look this morning at verse 1 down through verse 6 of Luke chapter 14. And I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 4. The Lord again put this self-righteous crowd to silence. They held their peace. They could not answer him. And then the Lord did something amazing. This man who was in his presence, who was very diseased and dying, the Lord Jesus Christ took him, that is, he lay hold upon him. I just can imagine reaching out with his hands, reaching out with his arms, and he healed him, and then he set him free. What amazing grace. The Lord Jesus took this diseased, dying man and completely healed him and completely made him whole. He went back to his house. This man, we don't even have his name. It's just a man that was a certain man. Of course, this man was chosen of God, blessed of God from all eternity. The Lord completely healed him and made him whole. Again, like on many other occasions, the Lord did this on the Sabbath day. We read in Scripture, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that's what he does in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. So I'm taking the title, and it's kind of a lengthy title, from verse 4. He took him, he healed him, and he let him go. This is our testimony. This is the testimony of every believer. This is the exact thing the Lord does. Every sinner who he wisely saves on purpose, whom he is pleased to save and justify in Christ by his amazing, mighty grace, we can all say, he did it. Salvation is of the Lord. This is the personal testimony of every sinner saved by the Lord's grace. And we could read through many testimonies where Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Again, the Apostle Paul, in his last letter, as he sits on death row waiting for his head to be removed, he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel of God. For God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, given us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, this is every believer's testimony. It's not what I've done. It's not what I think. It's not what I'm going to do. Salvation's his doing. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, when I was a little boy growing up, I grew up out in the Rocky Mountains, and I grew up in a very religious family. I grew up in what is called Mormonism. Mormonism. You've all heard about the Mormons and the Mormon missionaries. But in that religion, they have every month, they have a special meeting called a fast and testimony meeting. And in that meeting, they pass around a microphone, and everybody is encouraged, even the young ones are encouraged to stand up, and people do it today in religious circles. They have a testimony time. You're supposed to stand up and give your testimony, your personal testimony as to your hope of salvation. Now, I guess I did that as a young boy. I don't really remember much about it, but I remember hearing others give their personal testimony. Two things those self-righteous religious people who are lost, their religion is false, but they always say these two things. Here's their testimony. Their testimony is that Jesus Christ, their testimony is that the Church of Jesus Christ, called Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, called Mormonism, they say that that is the true church. In other words, if you're really saved, you have to be in that church. That's what they always say. This church is the true church. Talking about the Mormon church. The second thing I always say is this. They always say this. We believe that Joseph Smith is a true prophet of God. And that he speaks for God. And that the Book of Mormon is another testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a week ago Wednesday, I had a knock on the door. And I looked out there, and here were two young men. It was that Wednesday when the weather was real warm. They were in short sleeve shirts, white shirts with a black tag button on their collar, on their shirt. Well, I took one look at them, and I knew right away who they were. They were Mormon missionaries. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? I could have went out there and rudely sent them away. But I felt compelled to tell them the gospel that they have never heard. They grew up just the way I grew up. Hearing that salvation depends upon what you do. So I went out there and I tried to tell them about salvation of the grace of God. I told them who I was, where I was from, what I'm doing now, that I'm a gospel preacher. I denounced their prophet as a false prophet. I denounced their church as a false church. I said that salvation is not in any church. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Well, they stood there for a while, and they were polite for a while, but after a while, they got a little bit upset when I said several things, true things, about their false God, about their false prophet. For long, they couldn't wait to get off my front porch. One young man, his name is Robert, stuck out his hand, and this is what he said to me. He said, "I'm sorry you lost your testimony." And I said, well, I did lose any false testimony I did have, but now I have a true testimony. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, that's our testimony. He took us, He healed us, and He sets us free. He sets us free. Now, it's quite interesting. About a day or so ago, I was coming out my road here, and here came those two Mormon missionaries again. It was a colder day, and they had their overcoat on. And I stopped and rolled down my window. I said to them, "You boys don't give up, do you?" I said, "Have you got any recruits yet?" "Oh, no, no, no. We've been talking to a few people, though." I came back over here and did some work, and I wanted to go back and hunt them boys up and put them in my pickup truck and haul them somewhere and drop them off. But to get them out of my neighborhood, they don't have any good news. Anytime someone comes to you and tells you that salvation depends upon you, upon us, mark it down, they're false prophets. We can say with Paul, "I am what I am by the grace of God." By the grace of God. Now, let's go back in our story here to Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 1. "And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees." Now, this is the sovereign, almighty Lord and God. Everywhere he goes is decreed of God. Everywhere he goes on purpose. And he went into the house of this man who is the chief self-righteous man in that religion, the chief Pharisees. And he went there to eat bread, to break bread on the Sabbath day, and they watched him. Now, why did the Lord Jesus go there? We know everywhere he went on purpose. He went there that he might expose their false religion, their false righteousness, and that he might demonstrate one more time that salvation is all of his doing. But notice what it says there in the last part of verse 1. They watched him. They watched him. We know this came to pass by the sovereign purpose of God. The only reason the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these lawyers invited him to their house on the Sabbath day, they weren't interested in his person. They weren't interested in his doctrine. They were interested in setting a trap for him. It says there they watched him. They watched him so as to accuse him of sin. They watched him as to find fault with him, as they did on other occasions. If you hold your place there and find the reference that is given here in Luke 20, it says they even sent spies to spy on him. Luke 20, verse 19, the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them, and they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves. They were hypocrites. They pretended to be just men, that they might take hold of his word, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither except thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. And then they asked him this question so as to trick him. Is it lawful to pay your taxes? And the Lord said, whose picture is on that money? Render to Caesar those things which are Caesar's. Now, back to Luke 14, verse 2. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had this disease called dropsy. He had congestive heart failure or kidney failure that caused his body to retain fluid, and he was terribly swollen. He was on his last dying breath, and he is in the presence of the Lord. Now, we know this meeting was all set up by the Lord's good and sovereign providence, but the Pharisees brought this dying man into their house to see what the Lord would do on the Sabbath day. Remember, the Lord had healed many on the Sabbath day, demonstrating that he is Lord of the Sabbath. If you hold your place there and find Luke 6, Luke chapter 6. You remember the man who had the withered hand? In Luke chapter 6, verse 5, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an excuse against him or an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And the Lord said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And looking round about upon them all, he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one to another. What might we do with this man? It says over in Mark that they went out and held a council how they might destroy this man. So the Lord often showed mercy and had compassion upon sinners on the Sabbath day. You remember in Luke chapter 13, turn over there. You remember the woman who had the infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could not lift up herself? In Luke 13, verse 12, and the Lord said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come to be healed, not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord said, "You're just a bunch of hypocrites. You're just a bunch of hypocrites." So the Lord on purpose healed on the Sabbath day to show that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now look at verse 3, Luke 14. "And the Lord answered and spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" The law of God did allow for acts of mercy, acts of compassion, even so much if your ox or your ass had fallen into a pit, you did not violate the Sabbath day if you pulled that animal out of the pit. And they held their peace. And the Lord took this man, healed this man, and let him go. The Lord of glory asked the Pharisees and the scribes, "Is it lawful, right to heal someone?" He knew their wicked intentions, their sinful hearts. "There's not a word in my tongue, as David said, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." And they could not answer him. It says in verse 4, they held their peace. Verse 6, it said they could not answer him again to these things. Now notice carefully the actions of our blessed Redeemer, our blessed Savior, how merciful the Lord of glory is. He is indeed the able Savior. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's the able Savior. He's a willing Savior. He's a powerful Savior. He's a great physician of sinners. Even though the Pharisees and lawyers had evil intentions toward the Lord, He's always looking out for the poor and needy. As David said, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." He's always looking for opportunities by the Lord's good providence to reach out and heal, to reach out in a reach of mercy. The Lord reached out, took this man by the hand, embraced him, healed him, released him to go home, like He told the wild Gadarene. Remember in Luke chapter 8, verse 39, "Go home and tell how great things the Lord had done for thee." Now we don't have the rest of this man's story, but if you would have found this man the next day and ask him, "What happened to you? You were diseased and dying, and now you're whole and healthy, completely so. How did that happen?" What would he say? What would be his testimony? "I met the Lord of glory, and He took me, and He healed me, and He set me free." That's our story. That's our story. Now, let's come back to this statement here. The Lord of glory took this dying, diseased man and fully and mercifully healed him, set him free. This is exactly the reason the Lord came. You remember? Turn back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. When He came to His hometown there in Nazareth, and when He took up the Word of God and read from Isaiah 61, this is Luke 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This is the reason the Lord of glory came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Lord didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. As the Apostle Paul said in his testimony found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am I'm the chief one. Can't you put yourself there? That's our testimony, is it not? That's our story. That's our testimony. Every believer can say, the Lord in mercy took me. The Lord in grace healed me. And the Lord by His power has set us free. Now, let's look at those three things. He took us. The Lord took us. And as I pointed out earlier, that word actually means that He laid hold upon us. The Lord caught us. He captured us. The Lord took us. The Lord chose us in that eternal covenant of grace and determined by His eternal purpose to make us just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Had not the Lord chosen us in eternal electing grace, we never would have believed the gospel. Had He not took us in love in that covenant of grace, we never would have loved Him. For He loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness He does draw us unto Himself. We only love Him because He first loved us. We only believe the gospel because He took us to Himself in that covenant of grace and made us one with Him. Therefore, as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believe the gospel. We believe the gospel only according to the working of His mighty power. Remember the Lord said in John 15, you didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you that you might bring forth fruit unto God. We call this the Bible doctrine of election. Does this Word of God teach that God chose a people and determined to make those chosen people just like the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely so. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, unto belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not according to works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We've heard that before, haven't we? You see, God, who took the initiative here? God took us. He chose us. He calls us. He saves us by His grace. And that's the only reason you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took us, caught us, loved us, made us one with Him. Now, the second thing is this, and this too is our testimony. He healed us. Oh, I didn't know you were sick. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were born with a terminal disease called sin. That's our disease. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Like this diseased man, full of dropsy, full of water, we were full of sin. Full of sin. Isaiah describes us this way. From the sole of our foot, even to our head, there's no soundness in us. But wounds, bruises, putrefying sores that have not been closed, have not been bound up, neither treated, mollified with ointment. That's us. Like this man who was full of water, full of a disease, we're full of sin, shapen in iniquity. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. As we've studied in Romans chapter 3, we are sinners, full of sin, with absolutely no righteousness. There is none righteous, no, not one. How did we get that way? We were born in sin. But the story goes back much further than that, doesn't it? In Adam, excuse me, in Adam, all died. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for in him all have sinned. When he stood, we stood in him. When Adam sinned, we sinned in him. When he fell, we fell in him. Identified with Adam. When he sinned, we sinned also in that representative man. But the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he took our sins to his own body on a tree, made them his own, and with his stripes we are healed. I want you to turn back to the book of Matthew. Hold your place there in Luke 14. Find Matthew chapter 8. And this is a quotation that the Lord gives us here from Isaiah 53, where it says, with his stripes we are healed. But look what it says here in Matthew 8, verse 14. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. He touched her. He took her by the hand, and the fever left. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all them that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The only reason we have spiritual health is because the Lord took all of our sinful diseases unto himself. The disease of our sin. Turn to 1 Peter. I want you to see this. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We know the Lord Jesus Christ personally had no sin, did no sin, and knew no sin. But God laid on him the sin of his covenant people. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, live unto Christ, by whose stripes you were healed. When were we healed? When he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Now, stay right here in 1 Peter, find chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He suffered for our sins, and putting away our sins, with his stripes we are healed. We know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. That one verse we quote all the time. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When he died to put away our sin. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And with his stripes we are healed. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. You see, it all gets back to his person and his work. He took us. He healed us. With his blood, we're justified. With his blood, we are pardoned. And then thirdly, this is our testimony of every believer. He set us free. He set us free. He made us willing servant of the Lord of glory. He made us willing in the day of his power. The apostle Paul said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke, the bondage of the law. We are set free because the Lord has healed us and delivered us from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Free from sin, in that the Lord Jesus Christ puts our sin away. Free from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And thank God we have been made free from false religious bondage. No longer going about to establish a righteousness of our own, but resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, can you identify with those three things? Can you say, this is my testimony? He took me. He healed me. And he let me go. May the Lord be pleased to make this our testimony, because our salvation is totally of the Lord. You see, I was blind, and he made me see. I was deaf, and he gave me ears to hear him. I was dead in sin. You hath he quickened who were dead in sin, trespasses. He made us alive. I was sick, full of the terrible disease of sin, totally depraved, without God, without hope, and without Christ. And he healed us by his grace. I was empty, without God, without hope, and without Christ. And he has filled us in himself, filled with Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and with this, and you are complete in him. Complete in him. Christ is all and in all. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you are made complete in him. He took us, he healed us, he set us free. Now, this is the Lord's doing, is it not? We can say with David, this is from Psalm 119, verse 23. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous in our eyes. This salvation that is of the Lord.